Hey guys, welcome to Talkin' Shop, the e-commerce strategy podcast for merchants who are serious about growing their business. We'll be here every week with a brand new episode to help you unlock the secrets to scaling your business for long-term growth. Let's talk shop.
Hey team, welcome back to part two of episode 15 of this season of Talking Shop with Zyber. Last week's episode was just too good. We had to cut it in half because the value that Tina from Two Islands is spitting is so awesome to hear it directly from the horse's mouth, from a very high growth merchant located in New Zealand, taking on the world, which is, I know, what you guys are all looking to do. So enjoy the second half of this episode. But I'd love to know, what sort of conversation do you have with your marketing team with regards to, obviously, you're in charge of making sure the website's converting, getting most amount of revenue out of it as we can. And then they're in charge of, obviously, doing things like strategy and creative for actually driving traffic through to the website. Is that something you guys have, or how does that relationship work internally?
Yeah, so we have our team is fairly small, probably like 7 or 8 people. And I would say 4 of us are actively hands-on within marketing. Myself and another, our designer, report to our marketing manager. Marketing manager reports to the founder. Between the 4 of us, we make a lot of decisions, but I think we have fairly distinct spheres of influence that can overlap, but because there's only 4 of us, we can have conversations about, hey, I think this X, Y, Z. So My sphere is website and paid. And I think I took on paid because I had some experience doing paid at past gigs. And they had an in-house team plus agency. I had to quickly learn, okay, how do you put a Facebook ad together? How do you put a responsive ad together? How do you put a Facebook campaign together? And took that over to Two Islands. I think the designer that I work with will work together on EDMs. I'll give her ideas for like email copy, subject lines, things like that. I might do a wireframe. She'll take and run with it and come back to myself or the marketing manager and say, hey, look, what do you think of this sort of content? What do you think about this wording? I'll go to the marketing manager as like the point of truth on brand. If the founder is not there, the founder will also weigh in as well on brand. But in terms of brand language or like house style, I'll rely on the marketing manager, and she's great. Everyone's great. Let's be fair. The marketing manager has a really deep wealth of information about supplements. And so I can go to her and say, hey, I think we should explain this product like XYZ. Do you think this is scientifically accurate and fair? And does this sound like Two Islands? And we'll go back and forth. On those sort of things. I think there's a team effort on making sure, you know, the EDM, you know, doing click checks and do we think this subject line is going to increase open rates? Do we like how this layout of the web page looks? Do we think people will scroll through? And it's really, really collaborative. And because you have so many collaborative tools now, you have Slack, you have this, you have that. It's now we got this opposite problem of like communication overload, like this is pinging over here and this is pinging over there. And so there's just a lot of like communication triage and communicating, hey, I'm going to go offline to work on this. I'll be back online then. I'm sure on the agency side, not only do you have everyone talking to each other, you have your clients coming at you time. And so it could be really, really noisy.
That's
also the benefit of where we work. It's like dynamic.
It's a wonderful thing about technology, but yeah, you gotta work with it. At one stage in our office, Tina, we used to have these little colored flags, electronic flags, and if it was red, you just would not talk to that person. And they could work with your calendar as well. So if you're in a meeting, it would automatically go red. It was really cool. But now, like you said, it's all about Slack and, you know, just getting pinged all the time. Let's talk about a little bit about the tech stack. I don't want to, you know, reveal too much of what Two Islands does, but maybe you already mentioned Klaviyo is something that you love. Are there any other apps or platforms you really love working in the e-commerce space?
I think Recharge is vital. And having that,
especially for a brand like yours.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely. And all of our competitors, I'm fairly certain, use Recharge. And it's great. It's a stable platform. It's easy to use. It's really easy to offer auto refills and subscriptions. And we find that a lot of our people who do come to subscription, they stay for a while, which is great. That's what we want. So it's really nice to see towards at the end of the day, because Recharge's servers over on the East Coast of the US, you come around 5:30, 6:30, 7 o'clock, you see a nice bump and you're like, oh, Recharge, yay.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
So love Recharge. I'm a big fan of Stamped, Stamped.io. It's so many cool integrations, things you can do. And every time I email them, they're just so friendly. So I'm a big fan of Stamped.
Right.
Leo, I'm going to hit a nerd nerve on you. Optimize.
Oh, yeah.
Google Optimize.
Yeah. Finally, someone using it. And it's free, you know?
It's free.
Get that through. Yeah.
I think I was listening to one of your past podcasts and you were saying that you were like sitting at home with a wine messing around on Optimize. I'm like, yeah, that does sound like fun. Maybe not with the wine. That might be dangerous, but.
Well, I was texting people like Julian from Shopify and he's like, why are you texting me at 1 a.m? And I'm like, I'm doing some CRO, baby. So lucky, it can get dangerous.
Lucky he wasn't doing it on any customers' accounts. He was doing it on our own account. So that's fine.
But you gotta learn and you gotta just try these things out. And the power of what you can do with Google Optimize is amazing. So that's great. I'm loving that you've said that.
Oh, absolutely. I haven't done a lot with personalization, but what we did do recently is for our Australian customers, we're offering free DHL if you buy over $200. That's not hard. Mm. We buy one of our bundles that's like $205 NZD. You can get free DHL and bypass Australia Post. Also, thank you, Australia Post. You guys are dealing with a lot of stuff as well. We did a personalization on our announcement bar saying, hey, Aussie friends, if you spend over $200, get some free DHL. And hopefully that will tick over our sales for Black Friday as well. I've put in a note on our content brief for Black Friday emails. Hey, can you drill this down to the Aussie customer base? Because that's an amazing deal. I'm speechless.
Yeah. You guys work off one website, right? You don't have multiple.
We work off one website, correct.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. And that's what I was trying to say to other people. You have these announce bar, let's say plugins. Sometimes the theme may have that functionality. And people are like, well, I can't do a different type of announce bar if they're coming in from Australia. Well, Google Optimizer is that exactly. If IP from Australia, just change the message here or there or the CTA. Mm. And then that's when people suddenly start going, oh my gosh, it's very personalized, like you said. Oh, that was a good tip. Yes, mind blowing. Exactly.
Nice.
Love it.
Were there any other parts of your tech stack that you thought would be worth mentioning?
Definitely want to give. Is this considered a shout out? Are we giving shout outs?
We can do shout outs.
I like how you say shout out.
Shout out. Hotjar has definitely been helpful. We use HubSpot for our customer service, our little pop-up widgets at the cart and across the site if you need help, and our emails go through that. So nice. From time to time, I'll jump in and read through some of the customer emails. And I was doing some customer comms yesterday. We had something go out of stock, so I was letting the subscribers know. And it's just good I really like HubSpot because the way you can customize it to really provide some really nice service to customer questions, that's great. What else we got on here?
We're HubSpot partners and we use HubSpot ourselves, so we love it too.
Yeah. A constant source of conversation within Two Islands is, when do we go to Plus? When do we go to Shopify Plus?
Good question.
And in terms of revenue, like we qualify, but I think a constant source of conversation is, what are the constraints of, I think we're on basic Shopify right now, versus going to Plus, and when do we make the jump? Because there's some like really nice things with Plus in terms of flows specifically. What's the rule-based thing they do where you can stack scripts? Mm-hmm. Scripts where you can start doing stack discounts. Like that's really nice.
Or bundles or all sorts.
Oh man, I would love to revamp how we do bundles one day in the future. They're doing great now. The funny thing about our bundles is our bundles, I'm using a default PDP template on them. It's really plain. And our individual products are more like landing pages. You have a real big education. And I was looking at our October stats to see, okay, what is our buy to detail? What's our cart to detail rate? And I thought they'd be higher on the landing page ones. And it's like, no, it was the bundles. If I can get someone to a bundle, they're going to buy that bundle. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what you can learn from that is maybe sometimes simple is better, but if you're doing the, maybe the landing pages are doing the education, because if you know about one product in the bundle, they'll feel really comfortable with how complementary the other products are and they can get them across the line.
Not to especially if you're doing little discounts as well, you know, and they're like, well, I wanted all three and now you're telling me together I get a little discount. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, not to put you on the spot, Tina, but how much, because you guys are on Shopify, so how much as an e-commerce lead do you follow what's happening on the platform, all the, you know, what do we call it, Leo, the release log or change log?
Yeah, change log.
Anything like that? Is that something that you have time to keep up with?
I don't follow the change logs and the dev stuff, but I'm very actively interested in Online Store 2.0.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
We absolutely want the ability to move sections around. Mm-hmm. And so we have two PDPs on that with the ability to move sections around. But ideally, I would like the whole site to be on 2.0, because 2Islands is such a content focused site and content heavy site, to have that ability to switch things in and out would just be like, easier. Yeah,
also just the way those themes are composed initially as well, which will give you guys a major benefit. But what I was more referring to as well, including that, obviously, there's been some amazing changes in the last 6 months on the Shopify platform, or I say changes, but advancements, really. And a couple of things that we've noticed is, you know, scripts that you just mentioned before, you know, our team are able to utilize scripts with the new API stack that Shopify launched earlier this year a lot better within, you know, even just the advanced or pro old version, just the normal Shopify itself. But also they have teased just in October with e-commerce plus, I think it was called, that in 2022 flows will be coming to normal Shopify. So watch this space. There's no dates on it yet, but yeah, we'll be talking sort of first 6 months of next year. And it's probably only going to be available on the advanced, which I'm sure you guys are on already anyway. So there's that, but then there's
I was just gonna say, so I just saw Tina take a note down on what you just said there.
I did.
So here's the thing that I want to know, because you know, you are in the e-commerce lead. It's not like we always try and sell the value of Shopify Plus, but I want to now know from you, like, knowing that flows can come into the normal Shopify, does that just devalue a bit of Shopify Plus in your eyes? Do you guys suddenly go, you know, that was one of the key things we wanted, and if it's coming onto a normal Shopify, I'm going to stay around in this realm?
No.
Okay.
Because I think scripts is the big thing for Plus. Scripts and if we were, as we scale up, I think Plus is going to be quite supportive of scaling up. Because right, as you guys have mentioned, we are one website right now and we serve internationally. Whereas like if you're a brand with, you know, multiple international websites or whatnot, I think Plus is probably the sort of support you need.
Will you be fulfilling from New Zealand?
We are fulfilling from right now, yes.
Okay.
We have not had.
Write this one down. Go after this. Go have a look at Shopify Markets.
Okay.
Okay. Beautiful. That's the only preach that you're getting today, Tina. No, I'm kidding. I love it. I could chat to you about this stuff for ages, man. That's my passion.
We're advocates for Shopify Plus. We've seen people's lives change, you know, business boom. But the biggest competition to Shopify Plus at the moment is Shopify.
Yep.
And I'm trying to see in people's minds, you know, merchants, e-commerce managers say to me, I really need Plus because of this. And they go, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize there was that pain point in the market. That's why I was kind of asking you that question.
The good thing about Shopify is whenever they launch something, they usually launch it on Plus. They really fine tune it. They let the big merchants and the partner teams really break and bend Shopify in certain ways, then come up with a real sort of business grade solution. Then they'll maybe leave it a little bit. And that generally just becomes a requirement. I mean, everyone's got these requirements, and then they'll roll that out in a better way to normal Shopify, but it always gets replaced with something. So again, watch that space as well, because Shopify is heavily divesting in the dev side, especially for B2B. And so, you know, again, that's naturally only going to be available for Plus first. And so this snowball is just going to keep going. It's absolutely unstoppable. And what Leo mentioned before is the truth. And we hear this is not something that we say. We hear this from our Shopify Plus partner manager, that the biggest competition that they have is Shopify itself, and which not everyone would usually think of. But yeah, I love the tangent we just went on there. Leo,
that's the point of the podcast.
I wanted to ask so many more things. Can I pull it back to paid social, maybe some influencer stuff? I'm really interested. This is something that I don't specialize in, but I have, you know, real interest in, and that is, What sort of channels are you guys using to get in front of customers that have never heard of Two Islands before?
That's a great question. We do have a small influencer outreach. Mm-hmm. So we work with people more on like a project. The movement is more towards a project basis. Some select trainers, some skin influencers. It's more around launches and things of that nature. We don't use an influencer agency, to my knowledge, to the conversations that I've been involved in. My understanding is we might work with an influencer's agency themselves if they're represented by that, but we don't work with an agency to coordinate our own efforts. We do that in-house. Yeah. Finding new customers is something that's always, that I find a bit tricky right now, because we are primarily focus on the New Zealand market, and people know the Two Islands brand in the New Zealand market. So it's not necessarily introducing the brand. It's getting the brand to a point where it's like, this brand is for you. You should opt into this brand. Now, some of the other things I'm considering, or I've raised questions about, like, do we maybe start doing some advertising outside New Zealand? Do we maybe do some paid in Australia? Do we promote our free DHL over $200? Do we maybe start targeting the Kiwi diaspora and say like the UK or the US? That's now right. That is not an insignificant cost that competes with everything else in running a business right now, and everything's going up. Everyone's rates are going up. Like, material goods is going up. Shipping's going up.
Your cost per click's going up. Everything.
Cost per click's going up. People want to make sure that they have, you know, a confident cash flow. They want to make sure that the supply chains are delivering things on time. So it's just another thing to throw on the list of all the things to worry about. But yeah. It's funny how, like, you know what you need to do when you're faced right in front of it. And so we've done a couple of things to try to increase our new users. We've put up a discount on our website now. There's a Klaviyo pop-up where you sign up, we give you a coupon code right then. And then when you close it, the coupon's already at your cart your checkout. So that's really great. I think things like that definitely help. And it's a really common tactic you'll see on a lot of websites. So we're seeing increases in new customers coming in through that way. But we also know that we're going to have to do more as well. So that's something we'll be focusing on in the next few months.
And you said
that's the beauty of CRO.
Yeah. Did you say you do all your creative in-house?
We do a good majority of it. We do have an agency that'll do mood boards and design and packaging, things like that. And we'll take that on. They'll do a lot of the assets, especially for launches, and we'll use what they've done as like influence for some of our other designs as well.
Yeah. Cause I think, again, you know, with all these, you know, combinations of competitive industry, everybody using the same mediums, we're all trying to get the same attention and grab people's attention and pay for that. The one thing you're in control of is the creative, right? And the messaging through that creative. And that's really what I always say to people to focus on, is just focus on that creative element, because that's how you can differentiate or really pull some triggers with your customer. You guys use TikTok?
We do not. Okay, but that doesn't mean my eye's not on it.
Interesting. Yeah, I was just thinking there, well, TikTok, and yeah, there's such a huge demographic in New Zealand now utilizing that, you know, over 1 billion users worldwide as well. Could be really good. There's three for you today, Tina.
Well, here's what I'll say about TikTok, because I ran that question by Julia, the founder. I'm like, yep. Julia, they're going to ask me about TikTok. And here's what I'll say about TikTok. I think I'm part of a demographic, I'm 36, I'm going to be 37 in December. So I think I'm part of an older demographic that might be burnt out on social media and thinking like, do I really want to take on another social media channel? Now, in terms of TikTok, you don't have to sell me on the platform. The people are there. The attention is there. Putting investment there, you don't have to convince me that that is worthwhile. But with TikTok or any new social channel, what I also know is you can't just take content you created for one channel and slap it on the other. Mm-hmm. So if and when we pursue TikTok, we need to do it right. We need to do it in a way that's authentic to Two Islands and also authentic to TikTok. And that's going to take an investment of time.
Absolutely.
So we have the Two Islands name. I told Julius, and I'm like, I'm squatting on this. We're gonna use it one day. Mm-hmm. Definitely paying attention to who's on there. Our competitors are on there, and they're doing, you take a look at their accounts, and they're doing content that is, you know, really nice and authentic to the channel. Mm-hmm. If we're going to do it, we need to do it right, and we need to put the time in. So we're not going to slap anything up on TikTok just because it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how brands like you guys now, you know, one of the core roles that you have as a company is actually content creation. You know, you guys are a media agency almost within, you know, the brand itself. So no, it's amazing. Definitely worth checking it out. I think it's underpriced attention, and I think your brand really leans itself to that platform.
You think it's underpriced right now?
I think it's very underpriced. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Well, if you compared to, you know, compared to what else you can pay for to get the same type of attention. And that's where I think the price is, right? The price is on the attention. How many eyeballs can I get? The old billboard analogy, billboard next to Sylvia Park is going to be on the motorway, is going to be a hell of a lot more expensive than the one at the back road by QMU. Not anyone that's not in Auckland now knows nothing about what I'm talking about. But yeah, the old billboard strategy is you just pay for the eyes that hit it. And yeah, if you compare the eyes that hit TikTok, and you know, you generally have somebody for 30 seconds, I think sometimes maybe a little bit longer as well. I feel it's very underpriced. So
I have a question for you guys. Yep. Have you ever bought anything off TikTok?
No, but I don't use TikTok. See, I'm the same age demographic as yourself. And I had that battle with myself last year where I actually downloaded TikTok. This is the Tiger King days, right? Early COVID when Tiger King was out. Anyway, for some reason I did download TikTok. I probably spent about a month on it and I was scared because I would literally, you know, 90 minutes would go by and I go, I got to put this down. What if I just watched? I have no idea what I just watched, but I just kept watching. It's crazy. Yeah.
I'll tell you
Waldo had a video that was going viral. And so he's a little TikTok celebrity back in the day. Oh. And then he deleted his profile because he was, you're getting too many fans or something. But anyway, we'll move on.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the only thing I ever bought off TikTok wasn't a product. I bought some tomatoes and feta for the tomato and feta pasta. So the only reason I'm bringing all that up is like, I need to explore more what the e-commerce journey is from TikTok to see like, how do people discover things and how do they end up buying? Mm-hmm. But that little anecdote also just makes me know in my head, people do buy things off TikTok and they may not buy like a particular product, but they'll see something on TikTok and then go to the store to replicate it. So the power is there.
Top of funnel attribution model, it's so there. And I do notice myself a lot with those videos. I'd go, okay, then what's the next step? And now I'm downloading a PDF or looking at the actual website. I think actually I was looking at some jiu-jitsu stuff because I need to get back into it from TikTok, you know, looking at certain moves that I can't do. And I was like, oh, wow, that looks really good. And then it took me to the site. And you know what the website had? It had a roulette. One of those roulettes on the homepage, which I've always said, what a terrible thing. I freaking used it and won the 50% off. And I was like, well, I've got 50% off this like course or tutorial, whatever. I was like, I might as well go all the way through. So the power's there. The power's there.
And he messages me and said, I just got caught by the roulette wheel. I hate my life. That,
you see something, you're like, that's annoying, but then you get suckered in and you enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
It works.
I gave them my email address and I got 50% off. So, yeah.
And obviously TikTok is now a sales channel. You can just plug into Shopify as well, connect that up, and people can actually purchase your products without leaving TikTok. You know, that integration is that deep with Shopify now. So just like Instagram. So man, we spoke about that for a while.
Well, that was you. You wanted to go there. Yeah, I want to go somewhere very quickly. Is headless commerce something that keeps coming up in your office? Is this, you know, are marketing managers, e-commerce leads, e-commerce managers talking about this?
I think when I first brought it up, people were like, what?
Mm. When was that? Was that soon? Was that 1 year ago, 2 years ago?
No, that was probably about 6 months ago. We were considering what sort of changes do we want to make to our website? What sort of changes do we want to make to our theme? And talking to different vendors, like the headless thing comes up again and again and again. And I know what headless is because I've done some work as a dev before. I've played a little bit in that space when I was on maternity league. I put together a Gatsby blog, like a Jamstack blog. And so I get the benefits of headless. It can make things super, super fast and have something super, super customized. But I think trying to sell that to a marketing team I can't make that case right now. And this is why. I think it's like taking an anvil to a nail. What we need right now is I would go in different directions. Like, we don't have a loyalty program. We're more interested in a loyalty program. We're interested in improving the customer journey across the site. How can we make that shorter, smoother, easier? Those are sort of things that I would want to put my focus on. And say if in about 18 months time, we're getting more transactions, we have more products, we want to provide a very, very fast user experience, then I would say maybe let's look at headless. But headless needs a ton of investment.
Oh, yeah.
And where I would want to focus more is on creating a platform that anyone on my team can go in and make changes to. With headless, you're creating something super custom, which absolutely that meets a need in the market. But that's not a need I see immediately. That being said, headless sites are freaking cool.
I love what you just said. You know, you're basically looking at what's the net gain. What's the net gain for the brand, the business? What's our ROI on this investment? The investment will be quite a lot. And your timelines really stack up, because I feel like your guys' next move is probably just to get the OS 2.0. It's just going to give you a lighter theme anyway. Mm. And that's going to not remove a lot of your internal management capabilities from it. Hydrogen, which is just launching now on Shopify and becoming available through the partner network. And our team is already, I wanted to just say a very bad word, but just under the hood, and really getting stuck into that to really understand it. And so I think in 18 months, you'll be well poised with a Shopify partner network around you that's going to really understand that. And that would be the route to go, especially on the Shopify platform. I love what you just said, because the net gain for you in going headless, like you said, anvil to a nail.
Have you guys ever had a client ask you about headless?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's more us,
and it's usually the bigger clients, and they just hear this real buzzword. And I'm talking like massive customers, and they hear the buzzword, they want it. They might have a big omnichannel sales strategy, and that might be a key driver as to why they're considering headless, just to unify that back end and just all these different front ends that they manage separately. So,
that's why we get it all the time. Yeah. Just had to ask for, because you understand e-commerce a lot more than what a merchant understands e-commerce. And that's why I want to know your thinking around that. So cool. So there's a lot of brands listening to this. There's a lot of other e-commerce managers listening to this show. What advice would you give another brand who's considering going D2C, and is Shopify worth it?
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, don't have a bigger answer for that.
Nice.
Have you worked on other platforms and gone, oh my gosh, I'm going to burn the house down because I can't get this to work?
I can't answer that diplomatically. No, that's not true. So previously, I managed a number of Magento sites before, and I think with Magento, it can be incredibly, incredibly powerful. Clients would ask me, hey, can you change this on the site? And I would know how to, because I'm familiar with CMSs. But I think I had a bit of empathy for clients, because I think Shopify is a lot more easier to use as a merchant than Magento is. And I don't think that's an unfair critique of Magento, but I do think there are vendors out there that do absolutely benefit from Magento because of the flexibility that it can provide. I think if you're, a D2C brand and you don't have a digital presence yet, you need to get one quickly. You need to get one probably yesterday. And Shopify is going to be your easiest way to do that. Like, there's so many other people in that ecosystem who've probably done anything that you need for your store before, that you can get it done really, really quickly. And if one day you outgrow Shopify, you can go to Shopify Plus, or you can go to, a Magento for something more customized, or you can go to custom e-commerce if you decide to go that way. But I think Shopify, I see Waldo shaking it. It's like, this is
No. I'm loving what, no, I might be shaking my head. It's probably because I'm like, yeah, I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Shopify podcast here.
No, I've been on the other side. I've sold WooCommerce. I've built on WordPress. I sold one of the biggest Magento websites that's still in New Zealand right now in the supplement space. You know what I mean? That does millions and millions of dollars. So I've been there, done that. I get it. And I think the reason why I was shaking my head was, if you're a business or a brand in that position where you have outgrown Shopify and you can actually have both the funds, the team behind you, and the growth, you know, the aspects that you can already see, or you've laid the foundation for that growth and you can consider something else. I think, you know, for those brands who are going to get there maybe in 2 or 3 years time, the lay of the land is going to look completely different to what it does today. But yeah, if you're there today, what a great spot to be in. And you've got all these platforms out there that can really facilitate the next step of your business. So
it's amazing. Especially if you're multi-site, like if you have multiple international sites, like Shopify Plus can take you so far, but if you're doing multiple sites, you probably do want to go to Magento because you can handle that a lot easier if set up, if architected the right way.
Yeah, you look at the Platypuses, the Hypes, the Dr. Martens, the, you know, these large brands out there. They use it for a reason. So good for them. And we try and be as agnostic as we possibly can, but we just love Shopify, don't we?
We do. I was going to say, whatever someone's case study is, I'll challenge it. I'm sure I could bring it into Plus and make it work. But I was going to say, Tina, don't worry. Shopify Plus have not sponsored this season, so we can say whatever we want. No, we would say.
And I've got a t-shirt on today.
We're very open. We're very open and we will be transparent on who we think is good or what something works better here or there. So no need to worry about censorship here. What else we got, Paul?
Oh mate, I think we've been this is one of the longer episodes and I could keep going, but I know that for listeners out there, you know, 45 minutes is kind of their cut. So look, I've got so many other things, but I think we've given so much value through this podcast that Tina, I really just want to thank you for coming on board. You know, I want to put it out there, guys, like Tina has no affiliation with Zyber. She's not a Zyber customer, for example. She's just an avid e-commerce you know, what would you call it? Evangelist. Is that the right word? But anyway, she's been in the space, she loves it. We had that commonality, and when we had a catch up 6 months ago, I thought there was some really good synergies there, and you know, the chats just roll off the tongue. So, you know, thank you very much for that.
I was going to say, Tina, let's start a CRO and wine club. I think it's a thing. Now that I know that other people do what I do, let's do it.
I am on board. When this lockdown ends, let's start it.
Definitely have to do something. Hey guys, while you're here, we'll obviously put all the links for Two Islands and any other stuff that was mentioned in here. Rachel will actually put that in the description for us. And while you're down there, don't smash the like button. Just hit it really nicely. Just give it a little tap. Show us some love. Leave us a comment. You know, if you've got any questions for Tina, if you've got any questions for us, please just throw it in there. Let's start a conversation around this. Other than that, just again, Tina, thank you so much for joining us. Leo, I'll go over to you to take us out, mate.
Oh, thank you, Waldo. Now, I was going to say, Tina, it's great to get all your knowledge and your insight. And I think we might have to do a part two after Black Friday or maybe after Christmas just to get your feedback on what's taken place and what does 2022 look like for Two Islands and yourself. Once again, thank you so much. Everybody, have a great Black Friday. That's all I've got. See ya.
Gorgeous is the number one rated help desk built for e-commerce, where businesses can manage all of their customer communication channels in one platform. Email, phone, SMS, Facebook messages and comments, Instagram comments, live chat, reviews, and more. And automate up to 30% of commonly asked questions for increased team productivity and efficiency. Developed with automation and monetization at its core, Gorgeous builds your brand with each customer interaction. Empower your team to drive cross-sell and upsell opportunities across your customer communication channels.